Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Our good friend, St. Thomas the Apostle, did not believe that our Lord was truly risen from the dead. St. Thomas thought that the resurrection of Jesus was fantasy, fiction, fake, and false. He thought it was pretend, make-believe, some cleverly concocted myth. He thought the other disciples were dreaming and hallucinating, sad victims of overactive imaginations that resulted only in optical illusions. The risen Lord Jesus says to us today, as he did to St. Thomas, do not be unbelieving, but believing. The resurrection of Jesus isn't a dream or a hallucination. It's not pretend or make-believe. It's not fantasy, fiction, fake, or false. Even if you can't see the marks of his nails, even if you can't touch his hands or his side, the absolute truth is this: Jesus Christ is not dead. He is truly alive. He is risen indeed. Twenty years ago, I made a pilgrimage to Potsdam. Not that little town on the way to Plainview, but to Potsdam, Germany, which is just outside of Berlin. The entire purpose of my journey was to see the famous painting of the Believing Thomas by the great Italian artist Caravaggio. After a long journey of planes, trains, and buses, I finally arrived at the entrance of the museum. Filled with excitement, I went up to the door of the museum and read this great big sign, "Museum closed for 3 months." You have got to be kidding me. I was so close, and yet so far. I had gone all that way just to see Caravaggio's Believing Thomas, and I never got to see it. Now that is divine irony, don't you think? Like a doubting Thomas, I wanted to see the painting with my own eyes, and yet I never, still to this day, have seen it. I have to believe the painting is true. I have to believe the painting exists based on witnesses who have seen it. Caravaggio's famous painting has Jesus with his right pierced hand pulling back his white garment. And with his left pierced hand, our Lord is grabbing St. Thomas's right hand and shoving his index finger into our Lord's side. And I mean shoving. It's not a gentle, just kind of touch my wound, like, oh, be gentle, I just got sunburned, be careful. No, you can't even see St. Thomas's finger. It's all the way in to the side of Jesus. And I want you to take a good look at Caravaggio's famous painting after Mass, because we put it on the front cover of the bulletin for this Sunday. And I would like to propose that with St. Thomas, we go deeply into the side of Christ on this Divine Mercy Sunday. Not just to skim the surface and just kind of touch it like we're afraid to touch a sunburn, but to really go deep into the side of Jesus. St. Thomas says, unless I put my hand into his side, I will not believe. But think about it. How would St. Thomas know our Lord had a pure side? Stabbing a criminal in the heart wasn't part of a normal Roman crucifixion. St. Thomas wasn't on Mount Calvary. St. John the Apostle was the only apostle who saw with his own eyes our Lord's side pierced with a lance. St. John must have told St. Thomas about it. In his inspired gospel, St. John records that when he, St. John, was at the foot of the cross on Mount Calvary, he testifies that when Christ was speared, that water and blood came out of the side of Christ. And in the first of his three inspired letters, St. John again records that the water and the blood testify to Jesus. Thus, there are three that testify, he says, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and they are all of one accord. He talks about this a lot, the water and the blood. Now, the water and the blood gushing forth from the side of Christ was foreshadowed in the Old Testament in that story about Moses striking the rock in the desert. You remember that story where the people in the desert didn't have any water? And God said to Moses, go over there and strike the rock, and water will come gushing out. But did you know that in the Aramaic version of that passage from Numbers chapter 20, verses 10 to 13, when Moses strikes the rock, out comes, I kid you not, water and blood. Take a look at the ancient Jewish Targums in Aramaic about that passage. Beautiful foreshadowing. But there's another foreshadowing in the Old Testament in the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis says that when the first man, Adam, was asleep, the Lord God created Eve from the side of Adam. It's not by accident that Eve, his wife, was born from Adam's side. And so, as St. Augustine says, while Christ is asleep on the cross, from the side of Christ, the new Adam, his wife is born, Christ's bride, the church. And so we, the church, are born from the side of Christ in the sacraments. St. John Chrysostom says that the water and blood streaming from the side of Christ are symbolic of the life we receive in baptism and the nourishment we receive in the Eucharist. St. John Chrysostom says the sacraments have their source from the side of Christ. So he says when you approach that awesome chalice, you come as you're about to drink, he says, from the very side of Christ. See how deep, deep the side of Christ is for us. In a private revelation, consistent with public revelation, a Polish nun by the name of Saint Faustina received a vision of the risen Lord Jesus with those blue and red rays coming from his side. She received these visions in Poland and in the 1930s. Saint Faustina's confessor told her to ask our Lord, well, what do they mean? So, obedient to her spiritual director, St. Faustina goes back and says to the Lord, hey, what do they mean? And Jesus says, the two rays denote water and blood. The pale ray stands for water, which makes souls righteous. The red ray stands for blood, which is the life of souls. So the blue ray represents the water of baptism. The red ray represents the blood of the Eucharist. And, of course, by extension, the sacrament of penance. which restores us to our baptismal innocence by washing us in the precious blood of Christ. Our Lord continued to explain to St. Faustina, "These two rays issued forth from the very depths of my tender mercy when my agonized heart was opened by a lance on the cross. These rays shield souls from the wrath of my Father. Blessed is the one who will dwell in their shelter, for the just hand of God shall not lay hold of him. I desire that the first Sunday after Easter be the feast of mercy." And that is today. Today is the first Sunday after Easter. Today is the feast of mercy. On this day, today, the Lord's open side is open wide, pouring out his mercy. On this day, our Lord told St. Faustina, "Tell the whole world about my great mercy, that whoever approaches the font of life," that's his side, "on this day will be granted complete remission of sins and punishment." Awesome. On this day, those who approach the side of his mercy, who approach the water and the blood, receive complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. What a gift today's feast of divine mercy is. And so, like St. Therese, the little child Jesus, we run to Jesus. We run to Jesus and beg to be immersed and cleansed in the water and the blood that come from his side. Like St. Thomas, we dig deep, deep, deep into the side of Christ, the new Adam, on this Divine Mercy Sunday. Put your hand deep, deep into the rays of his mercy in baptism, penance, in the Eucharist. These rays shield us from the wrath of the Father, because the one who dwells in the shelter of these rays of water and blood, the just hand of God, will not lay hold of him. They will experience instead the open side of his mercy. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as the font of mercy for us, I trust in you.